This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Did you notice what Paul said at the end of today's reading from 1 Corinthians? He said something that at least at first seems somewhat strange. He said, "We have the mind of Christ." And of course, when Paul says we, he means believers who trust in Jesus. But he says that we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Well, listen closely to the rest of the sermon and you'll find out. In fact, in order to understand what Paul means, we need to hear what he says at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which is what you heard for the reading last Sunday. Here's what Paul writes. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." Now, at first, it sounds like Paul is trivializing the Word of God. He says, "When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence. I didn't come with superior wisdom." But actually, Paul is being sarcastic. Why? Well, you see, the false teachers of his day, they were basically saying to the people in Corinth, "Why do you bother to listen to what Paul is saying? We have superior wisdom. So don't listen to Paul. Don't listen to God's word in Holy Scripture. Listen to us. We're eloquent. We have superior wisdom." Not unlike the world today. The world today looks at what we believe, what we hold dear, and they think we're fools. They think their opinions are superior. So Paul writes back to the Corinthians, and he says, "Okay, let me tell you. We do have something wise to say among the mature," meaning believers who have been given new minds by the Holy Spirit, new minds that trust God's word and believe it and accept it. So Paul says, "When I came to you initially, I didn't come to you with the superior wisdom of the world. I simply came to you with God's word." Do you see how Paul's being sarcastic? What he's saying is, hey, this junk that the false teachers call superior wisdom, it's really not. So I didn't come to you with that superior wisdom. No, I came to you with something that's real wisdom, true wisdom, the very word of God. My friends, what Paul says to those Corinthians almost 2,000 years ago is so relevant for our lives today. What we believe as a congregation that is faithful to Holy Scriptures, what we believe is foolishness to the world because they think they have superior wisdom. For example, we believe what Scripture teaches, what God says about the fact that He created all things. He created the whole universe and all life in 6 ordinary days. The world thinks we're fools for believing that because they have superior wisdom. They know better. We also are made fun of by the world for believing that Adam and Eve were real historical people and that all of us are their descendants. We also believe what Scripture teaches, that they rejected God and that we've inherited their sinful nature. And because of that, we deserve God's wrath. And therefore, we need a Savior. And that Savior is God's Son. We believe that. But the world thinks we're fools for believing such things. I've mentioned on other occasions about a time a few years ago here in Jamestown when I had a chance to meet with a man for coffee who openly admitted he was an agnostic. He doubted whether there was a God at all. He wanted to visit with me because he had read one of my articles in the paper and wanted to find out what made me tick. Well, when we got together, we visited about various things, but eventually I said, "Okay, let's cut to the chase. You wanted to know what makes me tick. So let me just very briefly sum up what it is I believe as a Christian." So I talked about the central points of the Christian faith. God created everything. Adam and Eve rejected him. We've all inherited their sinful nature. But instead of rejecting us and damning us as we deserve, God sent his only Son into the world to be crucified in our place of damnation that we might have forgiveness. And then he conquered death for us that we might live in his love forever. Jesus now lives and he will return for us visibly one day. After I shared with them those basic truths of Scripture, he paused and then he said, "That's the biggest bunch of utter nonsense I've ever heard in my life." We're reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There's more. For example, as people who trust God's word, we agree with what God says about what is good and what is evil, what is holy and what is sinful. Let me give you a couple examples. For example, we accept what God's word about what marriage is. Marriage is for one man and one woman. We also believe that sex is God's gift and it is to be saved for marriage and marriage alone. Outside of that, it is a simple rebellion against God's will for our sexuality. But guess what? The world hears us says talk that way and they think we're foolish. They think we're bigots. They think we're nuts. Because they have the superior wisdom. Or how about the sanctity of life? We believe that we have a developing human being from the moment of conception. The Bible talks about that. We believe that human life is sacred. But the world thinks we're ridiculous for being opposed to abortion. The world thinks we're fools because they have the superior wisdom. I could go on and on, my friends. Today, for example, we're receiving Holy Communion. The very body and blood of Christ hidden within the bread and wine, yet truly there for our forgiveness and to assure us that Christ is with us. But the fools of the world hear us talking about what we believe regarding communion and they think we're nuts. They think we're insane because, of course, they have the superior wisdom. But we Christians should not be ashamed. We should not despair. You see, even though the world mocks us and calls us fools for what we believe, the truth is that we are the mature ones because we have been given the mind of Christ. In other words, when the Holy Spirit shapes our mind with the Word of God, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him. When we hear Him speak to us in Holy Scripture, we agree with Him. In fact, Paul goes on to say that the only way anybody can accept the Word of God, the only way anybody can believe, is if the Holy Spirit gives us new hearts and new minds. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't accept the things of God. We won't even like them. Remember what Paul said in our reading from Romans? He said that the mind without the Spirit is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. There are people in this world who hear the Bible like we do, but they say, "I don't care about it, I don't believe it, I'm going to do what I want." Like that agnostic I visited with, the message of the cross is foolishness to people who do not have the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, though, if you do agree with God about your sin, if you do agree with God that His Son is your Savior and you trust in Him for forgiveness and salvation, then guess what? The Holy Spirit has worked a miracle in your heart. The Holy Spirit has given you a new mind because you wouldn't even be believing that. You wouldn't even be thinking that way if the Holy Spirit had not transformed you. That's why you should not boast about your faith in Christ as though you somehow gave yourself salvation and faith in the Lord. You should not boast about being a believer as though you're a little more wise than the people of this world who just can't figure it out. No, if you have repentance, if you believe at all, it's because the Holy Spirit has worked through God's means of grace to bring you to repentance and faith. So we need to be humble. We need to give thanks to God if we're believers. And then remember that we wouldn't be believers at all if God had not used somebody to bring the message of Christ to us through which the Holy Spirit works to give us new hearts and new minds. In fact, that leads to the next question. How does the Holy Spirit give us new hearts and new minds? Do the heavens simply open and God zaps us with a lightning bolt or something? No, it doesn't work that way. God and His Spirit give us new hearts and new minds through the ordinary means that He has given His church. It begins with holy baptism. Scripture teaches that in holy baptism we are born anew. We are given new birth as God's children. But it doesn't stop there. As we grow and become older, God continues to shape our minds through the preaching and teaching of His Word so that our minds are not evilly and harmfully influenced by the world and then led away from Christ. Instead, God keeps our baptism faith alive. He helps us to grow and mature as we get older through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's how the Spirit gives us new minds. My friends, that's why it is so important for us as Christians to make the hearing and reading and studying of God's Word a priority in our lives. Because that is how the Holy Spirit helps us to mature in our faith. That is how the Holy Spirit transforms our minds so that we can have the mind of Christ. Well, it's not surprising then that the devil does everything he can in our culture to distract us Americans from the opportunities we have to grow in God's Word. Now, I'm glad you're here today. This is one opportunity you have to hear God's Word through which the Spirit works to shape and transform your heart and mind. But we need so much more than that. Imagine if you only ate one meal a day, Sunday morning. Do you think you'd get a little hungry during the week? Do you think you'd be a little malnourished? I think so. You might even die. In the same way, even though it's great that you're here on Sunday, the Word of God is meant to be part of our whole life during the week. God doesn't want you to leave church and then forget about Him until the next Sunday. He wants you to take with you what you've heard today and make it a part of your routine during the week. In the Old Testament, God tells His people, "I've given you my Word. Now talk about it when you're walking along the road. Talk about it at home with your children. Talk about it in the morning when you wake up. Talk about it at night before you go to bed. Talk about it when you're having meals together. Make it a part of your life during the week so that you can be connected with God and that He can be ever renewing your mind." So it's great that you're here today. This is an important thing. But we need to make it part of our daily routine. That's why you should also take advantage of opportunities you have to come to Bible class. We have one here Sunday morning. We have one here Tuesday morning. We have a men's Bible study Thursday morning. I'd be glad to add more if people would come to them. Ask yourself, if you're not coming to a Bible class, why not? Some of you might have legitimate reasons, but most of you, go to Jesus and tell Him why you can't come to Bible class and see if it would make sense to Him. Have you ever thought of it that way? Rather than seeing God's Word as something that you have to put up with, and if I get just my dose on Sunday, that's all I need, that's how the devil wants you to look at it. Instead, God is saying, take advantage of every opportunity you have to be blessed by my Word. It is a gift to you. It's how I make you mature in your faith. It's how I transform your mind. Not only that you might be strong in the faith, but that you also might be equipped to be an articulate witness in this world where so many people are still in the darkness and enslaved by the lies of the evil one. Parents, it's great that you bring your children to church. It's great that you bring them to Sunday school. But the Bible's clear. To really bless them, you are to be the primary faith nurturers during the week in the home. Oh, Brad and I, we thank God that we have the privilege of helping you teach your children, but the primary responsibility is with you. Nothing could be more clear in Scripture. So yes, bring them to church. Thank God you do that. Bring them to Sunday school and even go to Sunday school with them. Or if you don't do that, go to adult Bible class while they're in Sunday school. Not only then are you growing in your faith, but you're giving them a wonderful example, showing them that the Word of God is not just for children, it's for adults too. Adults need to continue to grow in God's Word as well, even more than children, because we adults are constantly exposed to the lies of the world that come at us from every direction in this culture. And Paul is clear in Romans 12, if our minds are not being shaped and transformed by the Word of God, what's going to happen? We'll be conformed to the pattern of this world. There are many Christians who are very, very immature in the faith. There are many Christians who've actually fallen away from the faith. Why? They allowed their minds to be infected by the lies of the world. They were distracted from time in the Word. They would not allow God to speak to them and transform their mind. And so the devil stepped in gladly and started filling their minds with the lies of this world, and they didn't even realize what was going on. And before they knew it, they were thinking the way the world thinks rather than the way God thinks. And that's the struggle we all face every day as Christians. The moment you leave this sanctuary, the devil is going to be competing for your mind. He's going to want to distract you from the Word of God you've just heard this morning and get you to think about 100 other things, some of them even sinful, rather than thinking God's thoughts after Him. That's why, even though it's wonderful that you're here today to hear God's Word, this isn't it. Our Christian faith is not supposed to be compartmentalized to one little hour on Sunday and then the rest we think about other things. No, we're supposed to take it with us and make it part of our whole life. In fact, it's interesting. I was reading about how our ancestors used to spend their Sundays a couple hundred years ago. Now, of course, back in those days, they didn't have much transportation. You had to go everywhere by horse and buggy, and so it took you a long time to get anywhere. So if people were going to ride for a couple hours on a horse to get to church, they weren't going to go there for just an hour. No, you know what Sunday was like for our ancestors? Once they got to church, the service was sometimes 2-3 hours. The sermon, an hour and a half. Because people said, we traveled to get here. We want to grow in God's Word. They thirsted for it. They wanted it. And then after the service, they would have lunch together. But guess what? They wouldn't talk about the weather. They wouldn't talk about the Twins or the Vikings. No, they talked about what they just learned in church. And then after lunch, they started studying the Bible together. All afternoon, they studied the Scriptures. Parents and children together. Families surrounded by God's Word. And then they had supper. And once again, they talked about what they had learned in Scripture. And then after supper, they probably sang some hymns and read the Bible some more and then made their way home. The whole Sunday was dedicated to God's Word. And they wanted it that way. Why? Because they hungered and thirsted for it. They knew they needed it. And then what about during the week? Well, just like you and me, they had their jobs. They had work that needed to be done. And God understands that. But throughout the day, they would talk about what they had learned on Sunday. When the families would get together for meals, they would talk about their faith. When they were working together, they would talk about their faith. When they were with their neighbors, they would talk about their faith. The Word of God saturated their lives. Is it that way in our culture now? The devil has done such a good job distracting us from what we need the most, and I'm just as guilty as you are. My friends, it's time to us to repent. Not only because it's a sin to reject all the opportunities God gives us to be blessed by His Word, but also we're depriving ourselves of a wonderful gift. And especially in our culture, where the lies of the devil are coming at us from every direction, all the more we need to be into God's Word so that our minds can be transformed rather than conformed to the ways of this evil world. That's what Paul means when he says we have the mind of Christ. What he means is that unlike the world, where people's minds are being shaped and contorted by the lies of the evil one, unlike unbelievers, our minds are being shaped and conformed by the Holy Spirit, who uses God's Word to help us to think God's thoughts after Him. But of course, that assumes that we're actually hearing God's Word. We're actually reading God's Word. We're actually meditating on God's Word. If we're not, the Holy Spirit cannot work in us, because that's how the Holy Spirit comes to us. Remember what Paul said in our reading? The Holy Spirit speaks to us spiritual truths through spiritual words. In other words, words that are from God. And where do we get those words? Holy Scripture. That's why what I preach from this pulpit is just not some entertaining story or my mere opinion. It is the Word of God based on Holy Scripture. As we go through this sermon series on 1 Corinthians, you are going to be given spiritual truths through spiritual words. We're going to be learning about a lot of things that God is going to teach us about who He is and who we are and what He's done for us and what His will is for our life, so that we can discern good from evil, right from wrong, and know God's ways. But the central thing we're going to learn that is so comforting for us is that Jesus was willing to die for us. You know, earlier in our reading, Paul said that if the leaders of this world had known the truth and accepted it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if the Jews had repented and believed that Jesus was their Savior, if the Romans had repented and also believed that Jesus was their Savior, if Pontius Pilate had fallen on his knees and said to Jesus, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," Paul says they would not have crucified him. Of course, that leads to a question. If they had believed and if they had not crucified Jesus, then how would God have atoned for our sins? Well, what you need to understand, and God reveals this to us when we study His Word, is that it was God's plan all along to sacrifice His Son for us sinners. If you read the Old Testament, we see that God commanded them to build a temple. Not because God needed a place to live. God doesn't need a place to live. He created everything. No, He made a temple because He knows that we need a place to gather, where we can focus on God and hear His Word. And in the Old Testament temple, there was this place called the Holy of Holies. It had an altar like the one we have in front here. And there the Old Testament priests would sacrifice animals and shed their blood. Blood would pour everywhere, and this was a sign to the people that they were forgiven, because one day someone innocent would sacrifice himself in their place. And of course, all of that ritual, all of that bloody imagery was a picture of Jesus and what He would do for us. But again, that leads to the question, if the Jews had repented, if the Romans had repented and trusted in Jesus, and they would not have crucified Him, how would God have saved us then? Well, here's how I believe it would have happened. If all of them had actually believed in Jesus, when it came to Good Friday, Jesus would have walked down to the temple with the crowds following Him, Romans and Jews together. Jesus would have entered the temple. He would have walked into the Holy of Holies. He would have willingly laid down on the altar, and there the Father would have sacrificed His only Son for you. Now, of course, it didn't happen that way. God knew in advance that many would reject Him. He knew in advance most of the Jews would say, "Crucify Him, we have no king but Caesar." He knew the Romans, who worshipped false gods, were clueless and that they would kill Jesus even though He was innocent. But that didn't stop God from carrying out His plan. Because instead of sacrificing His Son on the altar in the temple, He sacrificed His Son on the rough wood of the cross. And He did it for you. Because that's how much He loves you. You see, my friends, even though we learn many things as we study God's Word, even though He gives us the mind of Christ when we study God's Word, the most precious truth we learn, the thing that shows us the heart of God itself, is that the Bible points us to Jesus and Him crucified for us, for you. There we see the heart of God, that rather than giving His enemies the damnation they deserve, He was willing to sacrifice His only Son in their place, that we might be forgiven and have eternal life as His children. Now, the world might think that message is utter nonsense, like the agnostic I listened to. But for us who have the Spirit, this is the power of God. This is superior wisdom. This is our hope. And we rejoice in it not just Sunday morning, but every day of the week. We talk about it whenever we have an opportunity. So my friends, when you leave here today, remember what a wonderful God we have and what a privilege and a blessing it is to hear and read and study His Word whenever we have the opportunity. So not only do I encourage you to come to church services as often as you can, come to Bible class if you're not doing that. It's a gift for you. Pray in the morning and think about Scripture. It's a gift to you. Pray before you go to bed at night and think about God's Word. It's a gift to you. Have family devotions during the week, maybe at a mealtime. It's a gift to you. Talk about the faith with each other when you have an opportunity. It's a gift to you. It's a way that God blesses your mind and transforms your mind so that you think God's thoughts after Him, so that you know His will for your life, and ultimately, so that you know the truth, that God was willing to give His own Son for you, that you might be His own forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, who passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.